65. Windows rolled down, screaming now. I'm so big. Number one hustler, getting money. Why you wanna count my money? Number one hustler, get money. Yes. Yes, I don't know if you guys recognize that song or not, but that's my boy, Akon. Akon, oh my gosh. So that song brings me back. It really does. And I was just actually talking to somebody about kind of the, what my wife describes as the dark years, the years where her and I were split up. See, we've known each other now for, God, going on 11 years, maybe 12 years even. We'll be married 5, but we had a bit of a hiatus. I've talked about this in my Origins podcast, and you know, Peter Pan had to grow up, and meaning that I was living in Never Never Land, like never going to grow up, never going to be a man, never going to care about anything other than myself. And unfortunately, I had to experience a lot of pain. But that particular song, it's funny because it brings a smile to my face. And at the same time, it's like, oh my God, what a fucking douchebag I used to be. And so I loved that song. I loved that song by Akon. It talks about rubbing on that Italian leather. And I remember when I bought my Ferrari. So I had this bright red tan interior Ferrari, and a lot of people thought that I got it to show off. Well, they were only partially right. Like, definitely there was a braggadocious factor about it. There definitely was like, hey, look at me. I'll never forget one of my uncles, God bless him. You know who you are if you listen to this, God damn it. Anyway, I'd love you. I'm just kidding. I love you. He saw it, and my aunt, who I love to death, she's like my greatest fan, goes, honey, what do you think about that car? And he's like, I think that's the car of a man who wants a lot of attention, is desperate to get it. I'm like, well, you know what? You're fucking right. Anyway, sidebar. So I had that car, and I used to play that record by Akon. Get into the sunrise, doing 90 on the 65. And I thought I was so cool. But I was like so empty, so dead on the inside. And I was just telling that story. And like, I don't think at times we give ourselves enough credit for how far we've come. Even inside this like next 90 movement, it's so incredible how fast my life accelerates, faster than that Ferrari, faster than you can ever imagine. Like, I literally have a course called the Acceleration Course, and it's to kind of get you out of the frame of mind that you're in into like the new mindset, which sets you up for these 90-day challenges. And so I've got a funny story that happened during that era, and it'll kind of tie in the message of, you know, mindset guiding actions, actions guiding decisions, and decisions guiding results. So about a year and a half after the Ferrari, I get yet another DUI. And because I had more than one, they put me on house arrest. And so I'm on house arrest, right? And you would think that like house arrest is like, oh my God, my life is over. Well, for me, actually, it was probably the best thing ever, because before house arrest, I was like mobbing that Ferrari around. I was wearing you've heard my wife talk about it, my Christian Artigé shirts. Heather made fun of them. You've heard me talk about this. And I had no purpose. I was like a ship without a sail. And the ironic thing was that like I went to a lot of therapy, and my therapist told me, he's like, I think you subconsciously want to get in trouble. And I'm like, what the fuck does that, dude? I'm not paying you $300 an hour to tell me some bullshit mumbo jumbo, dude. You need to fix me. And he's like, no, you need to fix you. And I was like, I don't like you. And he's like, you're not supposed to. I'm like, this is the worst fucking therapy ever. And he's like, no, you're just like, you're not hearing what I'm saying. But I, so I was like the ship without a sail, and I was subconsciously and consciously burning shit to the ground so I could find validation, so I could find, you know, a reason to go back into superhero mode, as opposed to what I do now, which is every 90 days I recalibrate and I build to the next level. And so I'm always in the state of perpetual motion forward versus like this retraction back to the place of scarcity, build to abundance, back to the place of scarcity. And some of you right now that are listening, you're in that same pattern, you know, like you ultimately sabotage shit in your life. So to the point, I'm on house arrest, right? And I'll tell the story about when I got arrested another time, but I'm on house arrest, and I'm talking full blown fucking house arrest, people, like ankle bracelet. I have a GPS tracking device. Like I'm a freaking animal. And so for me, like, It actually forced me back in. I had nothing else to do but work, because you're allowed to leave the house from certain hours. I think it was from like 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. You know, you could leave the house. So all I could do was go to work. And I'm like, well, I'm certainly not going to fucking jail. So I'm going to go to work. And I started producing. I started creating again. And I started to feel like alive again for the first time, which is ironic, right? Ironic that like I felt alive when I'm confined electronically and, you know, physically and emotionally by the state of California. And so I was just not kind of associating, if you will, with the right people. I'd given away, you know, all my self-esteem, all my value, financially free and emotionally bankrupt, as I say. And so, you know, I was doing whatever it was. I've always been a marketer. I've been a very good marketer my whole life. And I can say that, like, not braggadociously or arrogantly. I'm just a really good marketer. I've made my living inside of marketing for the last 16 years. I've built companies doing millions and millions of dollars doing this. I've myself made millions of dollars doing it. I've also pissed away all that money multiple times. But like, I've been a good marketer. And so I would just kind of like, rather than figure out like what the hell I wanted, I would just go to wherever the dollars were. So, oh my gosh, loan modification is big. Let's do that. Auto warranty. Let's do that. Let's do that. And it was like this moth to a fucking flame, you know? And the crazy part about it is especially here in Orange County, California, the mortgage industry implodes. I explode, you know, from a business production standpoint. I made a shit ton of money between 2006, 2007, and all the way through 10. And then from about 10 to 11, I just was like slowly but surely burning it all to the ground. So this is probably 2010-ish. I'm trying to get my bearings on the time. But so back then, this new thing popped up called loan litigation. And it was where these people were suing, quote unquote, the banks. So you could stop paying your mortgage and they were going to sue the banks. Well, the problem was, especially in California, it was going around some regulatory things. And there were just creative ways to get to do that. So I'm like, well, let's do it. Let's market for it. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm not the one that's doing it. Let me just market for it. And in theory, it all made sense. And so we started crushing it. Like, I mean, our mail pieces were just going bananas during this time. I mean, a typical mail response is like 1%, you know, 2%, they're like super stoked. 3%, they're building a statue of you in their front lobby of their office because you're just a marketing god. We were getting like 12, 13% response. And so we started selling them per call, and it was great. And then like I had one of my clients go, hey man, you got some office space? And I just moved back into a new office. I just felt like I was getting my feet underneath me, but I was still operating from this place of, you know, insecurity and scarcity. And so I'm like, yeah, move in. I'll sublease you this much of the office until I grow into it. Rather than just saying, no, this is where I'm going. This is what I want. I didn't know what I want. I wanted to be out of the house. I wanted to be off of house arrest. I wanted my life to fucking change, but I was unwilling to change. And so what I was doing was doing the same thing, just associating with the wrong things, the wrong people, not standing up for myself, not having a vision for myself. And you'll see what happens in the end here. So we ended up subleasing space to this guy, and it was kind of like two two seas or two oceans that eventually collided together. And so I started at the left side of the office, he started at the right side of the office, and we eventually grew into each other. And so I slowly but surely was pushing him out. So it was like a Wednesday afternoon. He moved upstairs. So I'm in suite 102. He's in suite 201. Okay. That's a very, very important distinction here. 102 versus 201. And I had this beautiful big office. My office itself was actually really, really nice. My sister had decorated. She's my twin sister. She's like an amazing interior designer, not by trade, just by, you know, hobby. And so she had this beautiful leather couch and these bright colors and big desk, and it was really cool. And so I'm sitting there, you know, my faux hawk, probably wearing an Ed Hardy shirt, and I got my desk, and you know, I'm just cranking away doing business deals. And all of a sudden, it was probably like, I don't know, 9:30 in the morning, and I hear this like, everybody stand up, stand up. I hear like walkie talkies. And like, I see these guys literally running through my office, like running through my office with those blue windbreaker jackets on and the yellow writing on the back. And they've got guns. And I'm going, what the fuck is going on? Like, meanwhile, I'm on house arrest, people. Like, if I fart in the wrong direction, I'm going to the pokey. And the pokies, AKA pokey in the butt, in the jail cell. And I'm like, holy crap. What did I do now? Like, what is going on here? I'm like freaking out. And like, I have this big glass window. And so my door's shut. And so I can see them like working from one end of the office to the other. It's like stuff that you see on TV and American Greed. I'm going like, what did I do? My brain is like, what's going on? I literally at one point contemplated picking up my chair and throwing it out the window and just bolting, you know, and just running. And I'm like, what? I don't know what's going on. These guys, boom, they come through my door. Like, I don't remember if they kicked it open or whatnot, but it was, I know it sounds dramatic, and it was. They've got all my employees sequestered. We had one of them just fucking bail, like just sprint, and they end up tackling him in the parking lot. So obviously he had something going on. But anyway, so they come in and they run in and they're like, are you so-and-so? And thank God, like, it wasn't my name uttered from their words or from their, there wasn't my name uttered from their mouth. And I was like, I went to stand up and they're like, sit down. And I sat down and they're like, are you so-and-so? And I'm like, no, I'm not. And they look super perplexed. And they dropped this big old thing on my desk, which was obviously like a big, you know, lawsuit, cease and desist, like all this kind of stuff. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. So like, they've got guns. Like they were hanging up phone calls on people, and I've got girls crying, and they got them all kind of like huddled up together. And they're like, what do you mean you're not so-and-so? I'm like, what? Like, who are you looking for? And they told me again. They're like, is this suite 201? I go, no. They go, is this suite 102? And I go, yeah. But he's in suite 201. And they looked around and you hear them talk a little bit. And then all of a sudden they just, they bolt and they take off. And they kept a couple of guys. And then you hear that, still up, upstairs, you know, just chaos. And then you see all of the people from upstairs just getting walked down, you know, at gunpoint. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, Nick? Like, what are you doing? What has your life come to? How did this kid from Chino Hills, California, you know, with who was like president of Christians on campus, teaching Bible study? I wore a Jesus shirt to school, like full blown Jesus Cristo, like on my shirt, wearing the crown of thorns, like. That was me. And now I've got what appears to be some government agency in my office with guns drawn, like, you know, kind of holding, detaining all of us. So the good news in all of that was that they weren't looking for me. They weren't looking for me at all, but I was like 1 degree separated, you know, 1 degree. So there were some guys that were doing things right, and there were some guys that were doing things wrong. I never really took the time nor cared to see who was doing what, and we were just marketing for people. But because we were, you know, at one point this person was in my office, they raided my entire office. It ended up being the Department of Justice of California, the DOJ, and they can come in for any type of things. So if that weren't bad enough, And that weren't bad enough. They left that big stack of papers. And so I'm looking at the stack of papers. I'm looking for my name, quite frankly. I want to make sure that I'm not involved in this. And I'm like, I mean, literally, I think I soiled myself because I'm like, oh my God, this is the moment. I knew it. Mama, I'm sorry. You know, this is the Wolf of Wall Street, Orange County edition. I'm like, this is crazy. So I'm looking, I don't see my name on there. However, I see some names of some people that I know and that I trust. So being the savior I was at the time, rather than the leader I am now, I said, you know what? I got to warn these guys because their office was maybe, I don't know, 200, 300 yards. So it was just like the next complex over, but walking distance nonetheless. So rather than just, you know, hey, you made your bed, you lie in it type thing, I'm like, I got to go be a savior because I couldn't find any significance in my life elsewhere. So I got to go find it in someone else's problems, right? So I tell my buddy who works with me, I'm like, hey, man, drive me over to that office. And he's like, why? I'm like, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to warn these guys. He's like, are you fucking crazy? I'm like, dude, I gotta go warn them. Like, I literally have to go warn them. And he's like, no, dude, like, what if they go in there and you're there? They just saw you here and now they're going to see you there. Like, dude, are you, I'm like, I gotta go do it. I'm like, I owe it to them. And he's like, oh, okay. So he's like, just walk over. I'm like, no, like, I need to drive. That way we, like, if something happens, we can get the fuck out of there. He's like, okay. So he's this buddy of mine. He's fucking hilarious. He's got English accent, and that's because he's English. But now he's American. He's American and English. But anyway, so we get in the car. We drive over, and I go, okay, I'm going to go in the front door. If you see anything, I go, just fucking text me, like, I forget what the code word was, like Taco Bell or something, you know? So I know that this is, like, real. And so he goes, okay, I'm going to just stay here. So he's out front. I go in. Now, these guys had a big office. I'm talking maybe 30, 40,000 square feet. And they were just fucking printing money. I mean, it was insane. Nice cars in the parking lot. I mean, it was like the mortgage days all over again, right? Everybody in suits. And you got your first deal. And they cut the tie off. And they nail it to the wall type of thing. And so I was doing a lot of marketing for these guys, a lot of direct mail. And so I go in and I'm like, now they had, this office was beautiful, but it had like those little key cards, like beep, that to get you in and out the doors. So I go, hey, I need to speak to so-and-so. And she's like, hold on. She's like, can I tell him? I was like, yeah, tell him it's Nick Long. Tell him it's important. So she calls and then she's like, okay. He's like, they'll be with you in 10 minutes. I was like, I don't have 10 minutes. Like, I need to see them now. And she's like, ring. She's like, they said, okay, they'll do it in 5. I'm like, I don't have 5 minutes. So just then, someone had come out of like one of the areas where the security door was, and I just bolt in. I bolt past the receptionist. I go back, and they're back in the big mahogany offices and everything. And I go, and their door's open, and they're having a meeting. I bolt in. I'm like, hey guys, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. And you know, I've got the paper in my hand, and they're like, oh, hold on, Nick, hold on, we're in a meeting. And I'm like, no, I need to talk to you now. And they're like, Nick, just give us a minute. So I'm like sitting there like tapping my foot. And all of a sudden my phone, bring, I look down, it says Taco Bell. I'm like, oh shit. Now Taco Bell was code word that they're coming. So I'm like, oh my God, they're coming in the front door. I'm fucked. Like, they're just have left this office. They're going to be like, why are you associated with both offices? Like, you're screwed, dude. And so I go, call me. And I dropped the paper on their desk. Oh no, actually, I don't think I dropped the paper on the desk. I kept the paper and I start walking down the hallway. I'm like, where is the way out in this place? I'm not going through the front door. And so I'm walking the back and I'm walking so fast. I'm talking like a Guatemalan gold medalist speed walker, just hips and elbows, like tack, 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 walking through the hallway. And I see this guy, he's like, Nick Long. And he like puts his hands out to hug me. And I literally just like put one finger in the palm of his hands, like boop, like touched him, like, hey dude. And he's like, where? And I kept on blowing right past him. And I'm like, holy shit. So I see this lunchroom and I see this door and I see some people smoking outside. I go and I Jackie Chan that motherfucker open, bam, I run out the back door. It's like bright, you know, bright lights. And I'm like, I'm running. And I think I was wearing like my $800 like alligator skin boots. Yes, people, I know. If you haven't caught a theme here, like, spoiler alert, douchebag central. So I'm like running in my, and I text my friend, and he comes around the corner. He like opens the door. We jump in. We slam the door out of the parking lot. And I'm like, holy shit. Holy shit, dude. That was close, man. I was like, thanks so much. I was like, shit. That's crazy. I was like, I can't believe they were coming in the front door. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like the code word Taco Bell. You said they were coming in the front door. He's like, no, I was just hungry, mate. I wanted to see what you would do. I'm like, you motherfucker. You mean they weren't coming in? He's like, no. I'm like, dude, I just had a fucking panic attack. He's like pissing himself. I'm punching him in the arm. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? He's like, yeah. He's like, I thought you just wanted to go eat some Taco Bell really bad. That's why you're running. I'm like, you motherfucker. Lo and behold, that office was raided about 2 hours later. And I remember having an out-of-body experience and I going like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You're 30-something. You're on house arrest. Your fucking Ferrari got, you know, impounded because of a DUI. Like, what is going? Like, you're trying to, like, you have no fucking business saving these people. Like, what are you doing? But the crazy part is, just like being on house arrest, I had no way out. I had no way out at that time. I'm like, what? I don't know what else to do. You know, and I was in this toxic relationship and I was just trying to save everybody else. I was trying to save everybody else so I didn't have to worry about myself. And it wouldn't be until my grandfather died, like, which was the most radical shift of my entire life. And so why do I tell you all this? I tell you all this to paint a picture, a polarizing picture of like the depths of hell that I've come from, the immense amount of pain that I've not only felt, but I fucking caused, like how little I actually loved myself to where I am now. Like, I burned all my money to the ground. I burned most relationships to the ground. My therapist was right. I was literally seeking validation through like getting in trouble so I knew people cared. And now today, I've had three powerful conversations with three powerful men that I'm coaching in a mastermind. And I've been able to master my own mind in order to lead this mastermind. And I do this podcast and I share these stories so that you don't ever have to wait till you're like on house arrest. Some of you are right now, just not like in the literal sense. Some of you are like in the confines of your own fucking prison that you created. Some of you guys like have been listening to this and doing nothing. And that is like the worst thing you could do, because I am telling you through my vulnerability and my pain and my stories that there is a way fucking out. And the way out is all in on you, all in on getting your life going, making sure that day by day you're living a life of intent and purpose. And it starts with doing the core four. It starts with understanding where you're at and where you want to go. Some of the men I coach are in immense amount of pain. Some of them are like one step away from where I am. Some of them are in a good spot and don't want to go back. But the polarity of like how far I've come is irrecognizable and it's indisputable. This shit works. Like, don't wait for your life to get raided. Don't wait to keep trying to save others when you need to save yourself. You need to lead yourself and love yourself and save yourself before anybody else. So ask yourself, have you created your own prison? Are you currently living under the confines of house arrest, just waiting for something to happen to show you significance to start moving your life? Well, I'm telling you, you could change that shit right now. One simple decision, it changes right now. Just go over and get the Gap Map. I give it away for free. I give a video away for free because I have felt so much fucking pain. And I don't want anybody else to feel that. I want you to feel what I feel these days. I'm under a tremendous amount of pressure right now, but I love it. It's because I'm living a life of purpose, full of purpose, on purpose, every single day. So, if you're listening to this, my little English friend, touche. I still have not gotten you back, but I will, you fucking dirty wanker bastard. That was some funny ass shit. Those were some good times, and I love you, brother, because you stood by me. I was a fucking train wreck, and you stood by me. And to all those people who are listening, who stood by me, who saw the potential in me, who saw that there was something more beyond the bling of the Christian Artige shirt and beyond the faux of the faux hawk and or the facade of the faux hawk, like, for all those people who believed in me, thank you. And to all those who, like, wanted to drag me down and didn't believe in me and made fun of me, fuck you. How about that? Put that in your fucking pipe and smoke it. A little healthy dose of fuck you and fuck you too. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening, you're definitely not on that list. You're on a whole separate list of archangels in my life. But to all those bastards out there who wanted me to fail and wanted me to fall on my face, fuck off. Look at me now. And I say that with certainty because I know that every day I'm getting up and I'm creating the life that I want. Finally, I have broken the confines of house arrest. I've broken the confines of monitoring by other people, and I'm the one that monitors my life. If you're a man and you're a successful businessman, whether you're an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur, but if you want to take your life to the next level, if you want to get out of the confines that you're in, if this is resonating with you, email me, nick@ownthenext90.com, subject line, house arrest. Yes, that's right. I said it, goddammit. nick@ownthenext90.com, subject line, house arrest. I will show you the blueprint that I have used to get myself out of the hell that I was living in, how I've created multiple companies, how I've changed multiple lives, because it started with changing one, and that was my own. So my friends, this is a little bit long, but then again, so is my last name. Get it? Anyway, that's enough for today. So we're going to end this with a little send-off by my boy Akon. And I'm going to be rubbing on that Italian leather with them convict jeans on, y'all. And until next time, own the next 90. I'm out. Getting money. Why you wanna